And coming up here shortly, James Stone's going to join us, and we'll visit with the rookie free agent center from Tennessee. We're live at Flowery Branch till the top of the hour with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. Great to have you with us, Falcons and Saints. And I said it at the end of the game, the season boils down to basically 120 minutes of football, and come to think of it, that's about right, isn't
it? Yeah, it sure does. Just to give you a quick, fans that are listening out there, why is James Stone not already on? This is a fluid situation here for us on this show. Smitty comes down right after his press conference and joins us live, and we anticipate the players getting out of their meetings about the time Smitty's done. Now, sometimes those meetings carry over. You can imagine Mike Tice probably trying to teach as much as he can off of that tape that Dick LeBeau just provided for him. And so James Stone is still in those meetings. So that's why and we're not trying to throw a head fake here and say somebody else is coming or something like that. We're just trying to give you an idea that it is live radio, and we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants a little bit with the guest. A
couple of notes here to pass along. Gerald McCoy's just gone to the injured reserve list in Tampa. Been banged up. Really, it's been an inconsistent year for him.
He's had a tough time with the constant dislocation of the kneecap.
Yeah.
He dislocated his kneecap in the game, actually came back in the game after the dislocation to try to play.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately it just didn't work out to where he could stay on the field. And ultimately now in the back half of the season when obviously Tampa's out of any type of postseason race, it makes sense for Lovie Smith to get his best defensive lineman potentially taken care of so he can participate in the spring training and all that kind of stuff.
What a year it's been in Houston. Everybody knows Jadeveon Clowney went to IR, microfracture. It's expected to be a 9-month rehab scenario there. Yesterday, Ryan Fitzpatrick breaks his leg. Tom Savage is out next week against Baltimore now with a knee injury. The Texans will start either Thad Lewis, the former Duke Blue Devil, or Case Keenum next weekend.
Well, Case Keenum, of course, not necessarily know the system. He played in Houston a year ago.
Sure.
So he's a guy that's familiar with the personnel. Now, he'd had to learn a new system just like everybody else had that came in there with the new coaching staff. But and Thad Lewis is not a guy that's foreign to having played. He's had a chance to play a little bit in the National Football League. But, yeah, when you start thinking about playing your fourth quarterback, times are getting pretty lean in Houston.
Well, interesting, too, because when we saw them in the preseason, Dave, there was so much optimism and so much excitement about what that team could be. And I'll grant you, J.J. Watt's had one of the truly remarkable years in the NFL.
We saw him in preseason, and Jadeveon Clowney made his two best plays of the year in the preseason game against us.
Right.
And then we haven't seen him since.
No, you haven't seen him since.
And that's where you get buyer's remorse a little bit, maybe. Hopefully they can get Jadeveon Clowney fixed up and he can play well for him next year. But think about everybody that wanted Jadeveon Clowney here or wherever with the number one pick, and he has yet to take any snaps for him.
Yeah, it's clearly been an interesting series, an interesting situation in Houston this year as it relates to where they are from an injury front. Bill O'Brien quoted as saying they'll decide later in the week who's going to start Sunday against Baltimore, whether it be Thad Lewis or Case Keenum. I would expect the same kind of scenarios to play out in Charlotte this week as it relates to Cam Newton and his availability for the Panthers as they move through their Week 16 ballgame. What a treat here to visit with James Stone. First of all, thanks for coming and hopping out of meetings and coming down here to be on with us. Appreciate it very much. I got to tell you, when the Falcons and Titans were playing, I guess it was preseason. I was on radio up in Nashville. Dave and I tend to, do the shows in other cities leading up to ball games. And I was on with Brad Hopkins and some of those guys in Nashville. And the second question after was, have the Falcons recovered from all the injuries of 2013? The second question was, how is Maplewood's James Stone doing? And at the time, I thought you were doing pretty well. Turns out you were doing really well. What's this experience been like to be a college free agent, and now all of a sudden you're getting ready to start your eighth ball game on Sunday at the Superdome?
Yeah, it's been an experience. Like, I've probably learned more in my time in these short weeks here than I have in a long time. Like, it was a real fast learning curve, and trial by fire is certainly a way to describe it. But I feel like I've learned a lot and I've grown a lot as a player.
James, that learning curve went exponentially in high gear yesterday with what Dick LeBeau can throw at you from a defensive standpoint. How difficult was it? Because there had to have been some stuff. Smitty talked about there was probably six or eight unscouted looks that you guys saw from a blitz look. How difficult was it yesterday to try to sort out where Pittsburgh was coming from?
I mean, it was a task, and we knew about that coming into the week, that they were going to do a lot of things to cause confusion, and identification was going to be key. So we really had to be on your toes because they move around a lot. They have a lot of different fronts, and they shuffle guys around to do those patterns. So it was a task, man. And I had great guys like Justin and John beside me. They're always supportive and helping out and trying to get those calls in and get everybody on the same page.
Having been around the game and know some of the pretty good centers that have played in this league, Jeff Van Note, have had a chance to play with him here in Atlanta. Sometimes centers get books on players. You haven't been around long enough to have a book on a linebacker like a Lawrence Timmons, what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. That's been difficult, I would imagine, for you too, trying to learn players' tendencies as you move through.
Right, and that's another thing where I say having veterans, it helps a lot. Because they're able to give you notes on, like, especially in some of these past weeks. And, like, John, he's been in KC, so he's played some of the guys. And they kind of give you some notes because all you have to go off is the film you see. And sometimes, you know, you see something on film. When you get out there, it's different when you're doing it yourself as opposed to watching another player try to block a guy.
Well, the interesting part is one of the things we hear from young guys like yourself is how big the jump is from watching film in Tennessee to watching film here. Yeah. Watching film in college and watching film in the NFL is two different ways to watch it, right?
Yeah, it is. I feel like here it's a lot more intensive and the details matter a lot more because, like you said, with like defenses like the ones we just played this week, things can get pretty complicated than what you would see in a college game. And you really have to be on top of it. And it's on top of that, the speed of the game is increased so much. So you have to be on top of your game and know what they're going to give you so you'll be able to play fast.
You guys are exposed to the public a little bit with the hard knocks scenario and some of the coaching styles, and it certainly looked like Mike Tyson and Brian Cox kind of became the media darlings as far as the coaches they follow around. How has that progressed through the year, the way Mike has coached you? What are some of the things that have rung out for you that he's tried to teach you?
I mean, he just tried to teach me you want to be as smart as you can be as a center, and he's been pressing me to learn coverages and being able to identify defenses and do things more than just what you would do in college, like know the whole defense and try to understand what the defense is trying to do and how they're trying to play it, because it'll help you make your calls better and help you know and be able to expect what's coming better.
Now, do you like a guy – I mean, this is an over and under – league. You always, it seems like there's somebody covering the nose, because usually you guys are really good athletes at the center position and they don't really want to free you up to let you run or help double team with somebody. What do you feel like your strength is right now? And we're still a young guy improving. Do you feel like you're a better pass protector? Do you feel like you're a drive blocker? I mean, I know you came off the ball to Tennessee.
Right now, I feel like I'm probably a better pass blocker. I'm still trying to work on the running game. I feel like if I have a single block, I'm better off. I'm still learning to work with guys on combinations and things like that, getting onto the second level. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm still working on right now, and I'm just trying to keep and build consistency as I continue to try to improve.
All right, we're going to come back, spend more time here with James Stone. We get to the top of the hour on the Coaches Show live from Flowery Branch. One of the things we'll talk about, this left and right hand thing. We got to get that covered.
Yeah.
We got to get all that covered.
He's amphibious. Who knew?
No.
Is it ambidextrous?
That's another story. Uh-huh. Yeah. And also, when you go to Gotham City and all of a sudden you're playing, and then you go to London and all of a sudden you're starting, what's that transition like? More with James Stone coming up on the Coaches Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Last time the guy wore 62, played center around here, hung around, what, 14 years?
Yeah, 14 years.
And James Stone started out pretty good in his rookie season from Tennessee to playing center.
By the way, that clip you just heard of Harry Douglas's quick screen, if you have a chance, you got the watch app or whatever, I don't know what you got to look at, go back and look at
YouTube.
One of the key blocks, James Stone makes the block from the center position, gets out outside the numbers, and makes a block to free Harry to get him down the sideline for an explosion play right there.
39 career starts at Tennessee, most of them at center, some at guard. When did the left-hand, right-hand thing start with snapping the ball?
That actually started my junior year. I started off doing like an old-school pop-up snap where you just held the ball on the nose.
Yeah.
And then I tried to transition into just doing everything with my right hand, and my gun snaps were inconsistent that way, so I figured it would be better to just keep the right-handed for under center because that's how the quarterbacks like it, and use my dominant hand to do my shotgun snaps so it'll be more consistent. And it worked, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wow, okay.
Now, is it something that screws with the defense too? Because they get used to looking at it one way, or now are you seeing guys are kind of scouting it and seeing it?
I don't really think, because it really doesn't affect the play as long as, because we run and pass out of both shotgun and under center. I don't know how much defenses pay attention to it that much. I don't pay attention to it that much anymore. I don't know exactly how much it affects defenses.
Okay.
You talked about the help that you've gotten. You talked about John and obviously Justin, two guys that have played in this league. But you've got other resources as well. You talked about Jonathan Scott, who we have not – he's been banged up and has not been able to actually be on the roster yet, a guy that I think they're looking forward to potentially using down the road. Big offensive tackle, yet he was giving you some information during the game as well. So a lot of resources and you sorting a lot of information coming out when you get to the sideline.
Because I know for young guys, I know for Jake too, he'll probably say the same thing. It's just when you have older guys who've been around and they've played, because that's the number one way to learn is to get out there and be out there doing it. And those guys who've played and they have experience, they can really give you tips that you really can't get from just watching film or reading notes. It's from guys that actually gone out there and done it.
We hear so much about the SEC and the strength of the linemen, both defensively and offensive linemen, how good athletes are, how fast, strong they are. Obviously, this is the next level, but you played against other people in other conferences, and now you've played at this level. Is it truly, in your mind, the greatest, the best conference in America when you start talking about strength position guys?
In my mind, yes. I feel like just in overall, because, I mean, you can find great old linemen, as you know, all over the country. But I feel like in the SEC, that's something that if you really want to have a chance to have any success in the SEC, you have to be dominant in the trenches. So I feel like that's something that's paramount in the SEC. So that's why it's a concentration of guys who are talented at those positions.
I got to believe the environment in those games, whether at Neyland Stadium or on the road at some of these other places, Florida Field or LSU, Georgia, wherever, also helped you when you – here you go taking a snap at MetLife Stadium, Baltimore, all these places. I mean, the adjustments, the crowd, the size of it is not as maybe compelling as it would be to somebody who didn't play in those kind of environments.
Yes, I feel like because it is a bigger stage, you have so much other stuff going on, you know, especially on away games.
Mm-hmm.
But being having to have played in some hostile environments like Bryant Denny and playing in Death Valley and places like that and in the swamp, it kind of something you've been the experience to where you can't hear the guy next to you and very hostile crowds. And it's something that you see here. And I know guys that come from smaller schools who haven't been able to experience that. And whereas you go to a school like Tennessee where you have games and you have bad rivalries and things like that, that is something you experience a few times every year.
I've always wanted to ask, when they give you Mr. Football, Arch, do you get like is that a hat? Is that a crown? How does that go? Is that a plaque? Do you get a sash? Do you get
you get like a little trophy.
Little trophy?
A trophy.
Is it a guy in a suit, like a Mr. Football, or is it a player?
It's a player. It's actually a player.
Like an offensive player holding the ball, probably?
Yeah, I believe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Mr. Football, by the way, in Tennessee at the 2A level for Mr. James Stone. James Stone, center of the Atlanta Falcons, with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in our player portion of the Mike Smith Show. James, talking a little bit about Tennessee, you were part of the transition process there. Derek Dooley, the head coach, your junior year. Then, of course, Butch Jones comes in your senior season. How tough was that going into your senior season with a coaching change?
It was not as tough as it seems. Like, my junior year, I was kind of dreading it when I knew we were getting a new head coach. But when Butch Jones came in, how open he was, and he really kind of adopted us as senior classes and really wanted to give us a good year on our last year playing for Tennessee. I've heard guys who've had to get new coaches their senior year where most of the seniors were just put on the shelf and put on the back burner, when I felt like Coach Jones really focused on that season and that team as opposed to having his eyes all the way focused on the future.
Now, the season didn't go the way you necessarily wanted to. I think 5-7, but the signature game maybe of the season was in a loss in a game you probably should have won. against Georgia, a 34-31 loss in overtime in a play where you got a guy going into the end zone, ball comes out as he crosses the goal line. Did you agree with the call, first of all? And that had been a tough one to lose.
That was an extremely tough game. You know, that was our last time playing Georgia. We had them at home. Hmm. We took it down to the wire. We got into overtime, and I wasn't really close enough to the ball. And that call was crazy because the touchdown, we would have won the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the things you still think about to this
day. No, I didn't mean to bring a bad memory.
Yeah, that's one of the things you still think about.
But you didn't come up here alone because Quees came up here with you.
Oh, yes. Jacquez, he came up here, which is kind of crazy because we both signed as college free agents, and we ended up coming from the same college, going to the same team, and we played each other in high school as well. So I've known Jock for a long time, and that kind of helped with the transition, have somebody I know up here going through the OTAs and the training camps and into the season.
The free agent situation is so different in a dynamic from being drafted. What was it like for you? Was it nerve-wracking? Did you kind of know that's where it was going to end up, and it takes your mind off of it? I mean, where were you in May, and mentally how'd you handle all that?
I was, like everybody coming out, you wanted to get drafted, but when I had the opportunity to come sign here as a free agent, Coach Tice had worked me out, and I really like Coach Tice as a coach, so I decided to come here, and it wasn't a very hard transition because I feel like mostly because of Coach Wade Harmon and Coach Mike Tice, it was just me and Jake as a rookie O-lineman, and they really didn't treat me as a college free agent. They really were focused on developing me and helping me become a better player.
Well, thankfully they were, because here you are, the starting center for the Falcons, looking to start your ninth game coming up this weekend against New Orleans. Let's jump forward. We got about a minute and a half here, James. Tell us about what you think the keys are. It's come down to two football games. Obviously, you got to take care of the first one first and go to New Orleans to win this football game to potentially move on to the second part of the season. Tell me what you guys need to do against New Orleans.
I mean, I feel like we just had to have consistent execution, because as you've seen through the season, when we execute on offense, I feel like we are explosive and we're able to really generate yards and points, and sometimes we can sputter at times. And I feel like if we just continue to focus on that consistency and just everybody doing their job, not trying to do too much, and just executing the offense as it's called, we'll be happy where we're at.
This is one of those games that probably nobody needs to say much about anything. You played in some great rivalries, Alabama-Tennessee, Florida-Tennessee. Here comes New Orleans and Atlanta. You didn't play in the first one. You're going to play in this one. Nobody needs to say anything much about this game, do they?
No, this is a game where you just be focused on executing and getting your job done.
It's an amazing it's one of the few games, Dave and I have talked about it over the years, it's one of the few games in the NFL, and there are a handful of them that have the college feel to it in terms of the way. So guys who are fresh off playing in those SEC rivalries don't have much of a drop-off in terms of what they see, particularly when it's at the Superdome, seemingly. And we'll get a full taste of it on Sunday. If you had to kind of pick a dynamic spot, and maybe where all this changed for you, where would that be? Did the lights come on? Did it all go clear for you at some point here this rookie season, James?
I feel like probably the most dynamic time was when I actually had my first start in London, because that was my first time, like, having a whole full week of preparation as a starter and working with the ones and things like that. And when that game was over and having to realize you just finished the whole complete NFL game, I feel like that was a really bright moment, a moment where you just kind of realize the opportunity that you have and how anything can happen. And it was just – that was probably one of the most eye-opening moments.
Well, big guy, congratulations on where you are right now. You got a whole bunch more stuff to do. Welcome. You belong in the National Football League.
Thank you.
All right. James Stone, great to have him with us on the Coach's Show. We'll be back next Monday as well, 3:00 with Coach Mike Smith and a player guest. For Dave Archer, Wes Durham, thanks for listening to the Coach's Show from Flowery Branch.